Lord, as we place our faith in your faithfulness, come and reward us as we turn to your word. That as we hear your word, we will put our faith in it. And we'll be rewarded. And your blessings will flow, even as we listen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. If you've got your Bibles, we're going to be looking at that great chapter of faith, Hebrews 11. So you might want to have it open. Though we do need to remind ourselves that chapters are not God-given. Sometimes chapters are helpful in dividing up scripture and helping us to find places, but sometimes they are unhelpful. And I think Hebrews 11, particularly as it's known as the great chapter of faith, is actually a not very helpful division because it flows from the end of chapter 10. And so I want to read from chapter 10, verse 35. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly, what's that word? Rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. We could carry on, but faith. What is faith? What is faith? Faith in what is my first point? Because I have a confession to make. As I've been thinking about faith, I have come to the conclusion I don't have great faith. In fact, I've come to the conclusion that when it comes to faith, I have a bit of a crisis of faith. Now, you don't want to hear that from your minister, do you? But let me explain. As I reflected, it began on Christmas Day, of all days, to have a crisis of faith. It began on Christmas Day when I suddenly realised I had to cook Christmas dinner. But fortunately, I have a wonderful and amazing daughter who said, "I'll help you, Dad." And that was great. And so when she came Christmas Eve, she came with a list of things we had to do. She came with a list of order and timings. And I said to her, "We don't need to do that. I know how to cook turkey and chicken and salmon and whatever else we were having, because we all had our own special things. I can do that." And she goes, "Dad, you burn it every year. Let's follow these timings." And I said, "No." But she got into the kitchen before me, and we followed her timings. And Tobias says, "It's the best Christmas dinner we've ever had." I lacked faith in my daughter. And then a few days after Boxing Day, we used some of our Christmas money and we went off to that lovely place, which I hate, called IKEA. And we bought some new furniture. And we bought a desk and we laid it out, and we had these weird instructions. Ooh, IKEA instructions, picture instructions. What's that about? Give me words any day. But anyway, we're there, and Linda says, you've got to do it like this. This matches that with that. And I said, no, it doesn't. She goes, yes, it does. I said, no, it doesn't. And so I did it my way, and guess what? It was round the wrong way. And we had to start again. Because I didn't have faith in what my wife said. But the worst case scenario is when we were driving, and I don't know whether you find this, driving up to Blackburn. I've been to Blackburn loads and loads of times, but I always put the sat-nav on, because it's fun, isn't it? Put the sat-nav on, see how long it's going to take you. But then you get to a point where the sat-nav says, carry on the M42, and I go, no, I'm not going to carry on the M42. I've done this trip loads of times. I know the best way. So I turn off the M42 and hit a traffic jam. Because I don't have faith in the sat-nav. Because ultimately it is faith in what? And as I was reflecting on my sat-nav experience, you realise sat-nav is quite a really old thing, isn't it? It's not a modern invention. In fact, we read about it in Exodus, don't we? When the people of God had a sat-nav, they had a cloud before them and they had a fiery pillar of smoke at night, and the cloud before them, they had a sat-nav to follow. And I wonder whether they woke up any time to think, we know how to get out of this desert. Let's not follow the cloud. Let's not follow the fire. Let's make it up ourselves. Because that would have probably been me. Or even still, a sat-nav in the Christmas story. You think of the sat-nav in the Christmas story. The wise men. They had a sat-nav. It was called a dream. And they were warned in a dream to go another route. It would have been me. I said, no, I'm not going that route. I know the quickest way back to the east. But they followed the sat-nav. Because ultimately, it is about what do you trust? What do you put your faith in? And as we come back to the Bible, we've come back to see, do we put our faith, do we put our trust in God, in what He says, or do we think we know better? Came across this recently. 5 things Jesus did not say. Follow your heart. Jesus said, follow me. Be true to yourself. Jesus says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself. Believe in yourself. Jesus says, believe in me. Live your truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. No wonder Paul says, anything that does not come from faith is, anyone know? Sin is sin. You want a definition of sin? Anything that doesn't come from faith, doesn't come in believing what God says, doesn't come from following God, everything is that does not come from the trust and following God is sin. Because sin is I. The big I in sin is selfishness. And that's the problem when it comes to faith. I think I knew better than my daughter. I thought I knew better than my wife. I thought I knew better than the sat-nav. In all 3 cases, I was wrong. Not always in them, but in this case, I was. But my biggest thing, and what sin is when I think I know better than God. That's sin. And faith is coming to put our trust in God, saying, I don't know better than God. I'm not going to choose my own way, the way I think is best. I'm going to trust what God says. So faith is critical. It's faith in what? We all put our faith in different things. And some are better than others. But most of us come from sin when we put faith in ourselves, when it comes to the questions of life and purpose and choice and decisions. Whereas the Bible tells us to put faith in God. Or ultimately, faith in Jesus. And we see that in these first three definitions of what faith is. Faith is putting it in Jesus. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Because ultimately, and I love R.T. Kendall when he looks at this passage, he talks about these first few verses as being saving faith. Because ultimately the faith that matters is whether do I believe what God says about life and everlasting life? Do I believe that as I put my faith in Jesus, I can know, I can be sure of what I hope for, everlasting life. I can be certain of what we do not see. I can be certain that I will be part of God's kingdom, rule and reign. That actually I can know this saving faith. The problem with this letter to the book written to Hebrews is written to Jews who had become Christians and they were then giving up on their faith in Jesus. They were returning to their old way of life. Their old belief system. They were not persevering in believing that Jesus is the answer to life. He is not the one who will give you everlasting life. And they were turning back to their old habits, their old religions, and they were turning away from Jesus. And this is why the writer to the Hebrews says this is saving faith, to be certain, to be sure that our faith in Jesus brings us everlasting life. And this is the saving faith we read about. And the saving faith, he goes then to talk about Abel, who offered God a better sacrifice than Cain, and talks about how Abel still speaks even though he dies. This idea of the sacrifice that Abel made, that he sacrificed a lamb without defect, whereas Cain thought he could get away with his plants. Because ultimately, why is Abel's... how could Abel's sacrifice be accepted? Because it was the sacrifice of blood. It was pointing to the sacrifice of Jesus. He was looking to Jesus to save him. And even though he died, he did not die because he trusted in the work of Jesus. And so the writer to the Hebrews, writing to Jews, is beginning to explain how Jesus, through his death, brings us everlasting life. And whatever happens in this life, we can be certain, we can be sure that we are part of God's kingdom, that we are part of his future, that we'll be part of heaven on earth. And when we die, we still speak because we are with Jesus and we'll be with him forever. That is the certainty. That is saving faith, putting our trust in what Jesus did on the cross. And therefore, we can be sure, we can be certain that we will have everlasting life and we'll be part of God's kingdom. That is saving faith. Do you have that faith? Are you sure of what we hope for? Are you certain of what we do not see? What is that faith based in? It's not based in having to believe really hard to believe it and hope for it. It's believing what God says, that if we confess with our mouths Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the assurance. Now, do you believe what God says? Do you believe what God's word says and therefore can have complete and utter confidence? Or do you doubt it? Or do you trust what you think? Or are you going to try other philosophies or other religions or other ideas? Or are you just going to throw it all out completely? That's what the people were doing who the writer to the Hebrews was writing to. And so he's telling them, we can be certain, we can be sure of our saving faith because of what Jesus did on the cross. So we are not going to shrink back. We are not going to give up on believing what God said. We're going to put our faith in Jesus, in his death and his resurrection. And therefore we can be certain. We know that what we hope for will be ours. We will inherit the kingdom of God. As I keep on putting my faith in Jesus. Don't give up believing. And I've found, with all that's going on in the world, and particularly post-COVID, David sent me an article recently about how church attendance is falling dramatically since post-COVID. There is a real danger that people are giving up believing. Because they're turning to put their faith in themselves, in what they think, in what they believe. We need to have faith in Jesus, in what he did on the cross. And when we keep on believing and trusting him, we will know, we can be certain, we can be assured that we have everlasting life. We looked a bit of that last week. That is faith in Jesus. Do you know that you're a child of God? Do you know our verse of the year, that you are blessed, you are chosen, you are adopted, you are redeemed? It becomes by putting faith in Jesus and what he's done. It becomes confessing him as Lord. It becomes by believing he rose from the dead. And that's why we come week by week here to confess and for our hearts to believe again, so that we won't fall up or disappear or give up or stop believing. Faith in Jesus. But really what I want to think about in terms of faith is what I've called faith increasing. And as we think about the Freedom in Christ course that we are doing, it is about how can we allow our faith to increase. What does it mean to move from understanding our salvation is secure and we're safe as children of God, but how can we increase our faith? How can our faith impact every day of our lives? How can our faith change us and transform us and make us more like Jesus? How can faith mean that we receive the rewards of God in our lives? How does our faith make a difference as we wait for Jesus to come again, as we wait for his kingdom? And this is where the next part of Hebrews comes. And R.T. Kendall talks about saving faith in those first four verses, but then he talks about experimental faith, or I prefer experiential faith. How do we experience faith that changes and works in us day by day? And it's that lovely verse that we read at the beginning. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Because it's about coming with that faith, certain that as we've believed in Jesus, that we are children of God, that we inherit his kingdom, but it's then taking that faith and let it increase in us to become an experimental, experiential faith of the everyday, where we receive the rewards of God. And that's what we read in the rest of this great faith chapter, how people, men and women of God, when they were lived on this earth, before they inherited everything, and it keeps saying that's still to come, these people haven't received everything, that's still to come, but how they, in their lives, received the rewards and blessings of God and received him working in and through them. And faith is those who cause us to earnestly seek him. So increasing faith is not about trying just to have positive thinking. It's not just about trying harder to be like Jesus. It's not about trying harder to pray more or more intensely or whatever it is. Faith comes by seeking God. Growing in your relationship with God, trusting him more and more, getting to know him better and better. That's why Paul in Romans says faith comes from, what did we read? Comes from hearing. Hearing the message, hearing the word. And as we hear it, as we seek God in his word, as we hear it, as we get to know this God, as we get to know his rewards, as we get to know who he is and how he loves us and wants to bless us and work for us, as we seek him and humble ourselves and come before this throne of grace to receive help and to receive blessing, we know as we do that, God, the God we worship, is a God who is a Father who wants to reward and bless us. We live in a broken, sinful world. We will have everlasting life in the new kingdom. But that does not mean God just says, wait and I'll leave you alone until that happens. He is wanting to reward and bless and encourage and help us learn to trust him and allow him to work in our lives as we seek him and as we experience him more and more. How do children learn to trust? They learn to trust as they do something. And they find that they are safe. The child jumping into a swimming pool. Don't know whether you used to do it, I used to do it with mine when they were younger. They all had different experiences. Luke would just do it without even thinking. The other two were a bit more worried. But as soon as they jump in, I would catch them. And then I'd get, would you take the step back? Do you ever do that? And then I'd get them to jump a bit further. And you still catch them. You take another step back. The problem is when you drop them and let them sink, but you learn by trusting. Seeing that God can be trusted. Seeing that what he says in his word, when we learn about him, that he can be trusted. And so we can grow in faith. We can increase our faith. And actually, probably we can have more confidence in faith. Because God's faithfulness, the verse in Habakkuk which Paul quotes, actually in the Hebrew, is the just shall live by his faithfulness. It's not about our faith, it's about his faithfulness. And the ability whether my children would drown if they jumped in the pool was got actually nothing to do with their ability, it was to do whether I had the ability to catch them. If Luke tried it now, I'd drop him and he'd drown because I couldn't catch him, too heavy. But actually there is, it's on my ability. And actually, it doesn't matter how scared or worried they were, I was still going to catch them. They didn't need to have great faith and confidence, as long as they did it. But actually, how much better they would enjoy it when they knew that I would catch them. And they could enjoy it and laugh and live life in its fullness, rather than being fearful and anxious. And so we increase our faith as we learn from God's word, as we hear about his character, as we hear about his promises, as we hear about his nature, as we learn that we can trust him, and more we gain confidence to throw ourselves upon him, throw ourselves upon his word, and we learn to trust that and not our feelings and not our fears and not our anxieties. And more we put our faith in him. That's how we increase our faith, by hearing the word, by obeying the word. Noah had to build an ark when there was no flood or rain. Abraham had to leave to a place which he wasn't told where it was or given directions on how to get there. Noah had to trust God's instructions on how to build an ark. Abraham had to trust that God would be his sat-nav and lead him to the land he would possess. As they began, as Noah started, do you think he was worried and anxious and fearful? I guess so. Did he like the mocking and the jeering? Of course he did. Trusted. Abraham, did he like the complaints of his in-laws? Can't take my daughter there, don't know where you're going, not enough money, what are you doing? Was he afraid? Was he scared? Of course he was. But as he went, as he trusted, as he learned about God, we read in the great passage, he even was prepared to sacrifice his son in obedience to God's word. Why? It's a bizarre thing to do. No one would do that. Hebrews tells us, because he reckoned, he believed, he thought, he had faith, he knew that God could raise the dead. Therefore, there was no worry about it. Because God didn't want to take his son away. He would raise him. It's about knowing who we believe. It's about trusting. It's about hearing. And it's about obeying, because faith increasing ultimately is about faith in action. You can tell what someone truly believes, not by what they say, but by what they do. I could tell you I am not scared of heights, and I do not have a problem rock climbing or taking the leap of faith with the young people as I did a number of years back. I could tell you, I know I'm safe. I know I'm secure. I know the ropes are there for me. But actually, do I really believe that? It's when I climb up. It's when I put the harness on. It's when I take that leap. That's truly believing that those ropes and harnesses will hold and protect me. Because faith increasing ultimately is about obedience. It's about faith in actions. No wonder James says, you say you have faith. I will show you by faith by what I do. We can all talk a great game, can't we? We can all talk a great game on a Sunday with our Christian friends or in our life group. But how does that impact how you deal with things in the week? How anxious you get, how cross you get, how you still do things that you shouldn't, all those things. Because faith increasing is ultimately about faith in action. It's about putting into practice, seeking God, knowing that He will reward us, knowing that He is kind and gentle and compassionate and caring and has the good for us. And it's about increasing our trust in Him. And that's where the Word comes from. That's why it's so important to come and put our faith in the Word. Because my final point this morning is faith in what? Put your faith in Jesus. Faith increasing. Faith in action. But perhaps the most important thing, as we're going to look at over these next few weeks in the Freedom in Christ course, is faith in resisting. Faith in resisting. Because ultimately what I need to come and realize is that there is an enemy to my faith in God. There is an enemy for me trusting Him and living this life of freedom and of joy and of confidence in Him. And that's why I need faith in resisting. And that's why Paul in Ephesians says, take up the shield of faith, because faith is needed to resist. Faith is needed to resist the attacks of the evil one who wants to take away our confidence and our trust and our belief in a God that will reward us. Who, when things happen to us which we're not expecting, or we don't see the miraculous and we don't see the answers to the prayer, the evil one comes and says, well, it can't be true. But we have to use faith to resist the enemy. We need to use faith daily. We need to use faith to overcome our enemy. And I don't quite know what Nick's preaching on next week, but I perhaps suggested he could look at the temptations of Jesus, because we have Jesus when He was tempted by the devil. I don't know, have you ever thought about that story? What do you imagine actually happened? What do you actually think happened? We have in my mind, with the Bible stories, you have this figure of Satan, and sometimes he looks like a normal person, sometimes he's got strange things to make him look a bit like the devil, and we suddenly think that they come together. I don't think it was like that. I think he came through his thoughts. I don't think he saw Satan. But he heard Satan. He heard Satan in his mindset, in his minds, in his fears, in his worries. And he heard him. And how did he resist him? He resisted him by faith. Because what did he use? He used Scripture. He said, that may be the thought, that may be the thought pattern, that may be the temptation, that may come from myself or it may come from Satan, but actually what I'm going to use is I need to build faith, and so therefore I'm going to speak Scripture, because faith comes from hearing the Word of God. Faith is based on truth. There's no point having faith that is based on lies. We all put our faith in something. I put my faith in the lies that I'm a better cook than my daughter. But actually, that's a lie. It's only important to have faith if it's in truth. And that's why as Christians it's so important that our truth is God is truth, Jesus is truth, the Word is truth. And therefore I can put my faith confidently in the truth. And that's why I can use the truth to resist the devil. There's a famous monk in the 4th century called Evagrius, I think is how you pronounce his name. And he went to fight the devil, as they did back then, and he went into the desert of Egypt, and he learned to fight the devil, just like Jesus did. But actually, when he came out, he seemed to be quite successful, and so they got him to talk about that. And he talked about that actually he was fighting not a physical figure, he was fighting what he'd called as logismoi, which is a Greek word for thoughts or thought patterns or our internal narratives or our belief structures. And actually he was fighting these things which were against the truth of God, which was against the truth of Scripture. And so what he did is he looked at what these thought patterns were. He thought what he looked at them and he tried to find scriptures that would overcome them. And actually, he would use something called antiresis, which again simply means counter-talking. So in other words, he would speak truth to his fears and his anxieties and his worries and his things that weren't true, the lies that he was being told by himself or the principalities and powers behind his thoughts, which have an effect on his life. And he would counter-talk with the truth of Scripture. So he would begin each thing against the thought, and then he'd bring a spiritual truth in, the truth of God's word. And he would base his resistance by using Scripture, just as Jesus did. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Counter-talking, using Scripture in faith. And we need to use faith because our internal narratives, our belief structure, our thoughts and thought patterns have been disrupted by lies. And it's a battle to change our thinking away from lies to truth. And we put our truth in Jesus. No wonder Jesus says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And that's why when we come to faith, it is faith in truth. It is faith in Jesus who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to be certain of your salvation, if you want to be certain of eternal life, confess Jesus as Lord, believe in your heart He raised from the dead, and then there's no question about it. You have everlasting life. But if you want your faith in Jesus to increase and to change your life and to give you life in all its fullness and confidence in whatever you faith, you've got to read God's word. You've got to get into His word and into His promises. You've got to learn to put it into practice daily. And you've got to learn to overcome the small battles so when the big battles come, your faith is increased and you can put into action what God says. I love the story of David and Goliath. He was a man of faith. How dare Goliath stand against the people of God? How dare he? He can't. No one else is going to fight him. I might as well go up because I know that God will defeat him. That's faith. Where did that faith come from? It came from the little battles, surely. It came when he was a shepherd and the bears and the wolves attacked his sheep. He'd learned to grow in faith to know that God would protect him and would help him and use him. And if God could help him in the small battles when the big battles came, it doesn't matter if it's a sheep or a wolf or Goliath because they're battling against the name of the Lord, not against small me. We have to learn to put our faith into practice. We need to fight against our thought, our natural thought patterns, our internal narratives, and our belief structures. We need to put some counter-talking in place, and that is what we do. So therefore, as a response, and we need to close, you're right, it is time to end. What I've done this week, last week you bought Who I Am in Christ, and I hope you use that, because that says what you are by putting your faith in Jesus. That's it, certain. Nothing can change that. Nothing can take that away from you. Believe that, because that's what Jesus did by dying on the cross for you. But this week I want you to learn, and this is taken from the Freedom in Christ, the 20 cans of success. Simply 20 things you can say based on Scripture about building faith. And you can read them out to yourselves, you can read them out to others, but they're based in God's Word. And then in your life groups, I think you're a week behind me, so in 2 weeks' time, you'll have an opportunity to use Evagrius's way of overcoming faith. And simply you ask the question, what is that overwhelming emotion of fear or anxiety? What's the thought, feeling, and or sensation that is causing me anxiety, fear, or sensations of being overwhelmed? And then you talk that down, and then you reflect, what's the lie beneath that thought, feeling, and sensation that reveals your attachment? And then what's the truth from Scripture? So for instance, you could put, I'm worried about losing my job. I'm getting overwhelmed with fear and worry, which means I won't be able to make my mortgage payment. And it makes me feel inadequate, a failure, which makes me isolate myself from people. What's the lie beneath the thought and feeling? The lie is that my safety and my security are in my job, and owning newer and nicer things will make me happy, and I'm less of me when I have no job and I'm no good for anyone. That's the lie. What's the truth is you are a child of God. That you are not alone, and that God will fulfill all his purposes for you. Find scriptures, and you fight the enemy. You fight the wrong thought pattern with the truth of Scripture. And that's why faith comes from hearing the Word of God. So I hope your New Year's resolution, if you haven't made one yet, or you've broken all your others, please, make it to daily to hear the Word of God. Because faith comes from hearing. You want to increase in faith? You want to seek God? You want to see God's rewards and blessings? You want to live life in all its fullness, whatever life throws at you this year? The answer is simple. I'm not legalistic. I don't want to make you feel guilty. I just want to offer you freedom. That faith will come as you hear the Word of God. And come every Sunday to hear the Word of God, because your faith will increase. It won't affect your saving faith. R.T. Kendall is right. As long as you believe that Jesus died for you and rose again, you will be part of his everlasting life. But this experimental, experiential faith will affect how you enjoy life and live life in all its fullness and know peace and rewards and blessing in your life on earth. This is how you will find freedom in Christ. Yeah, I know, you came in last time and I knew I should have finished, so let me pray now and let's finish. You right, Reg? Yeah, good. They're all going to come out, yes, because I'm late. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, let's stand together and we're going to sing as the children come back. And if you've got children, go and get them, please. But we are going to pray and then we're going to sing. But do make sure, as I said last week, to follow up this material in your small groups or in your life group. It is so important. It is all the time. But as we do this, to come on a Sunday, to be part of a small group, that you may know freedom in your faith, increase your faith. And then we will see those rewards that God wants, those miracles we will see as we find freedom in him. Lord Jesus, I just pray now, anyone who is feeling overwhelmed with wrong thoughts, wrong belief systems, Lord, we're all afraid and we all get anxious, and that's normal, but Lord, when they become overwhelming, when they take away life, Lord Jesus, you want us to resist. So, Lord, may we hear Scripture. May we put our faith in it. And Lord, if anyone really is struggling, may they come forward for the prayer ministry and may they be given a Scripture where they can know freedom. Lord Jesus, your truth will set us free. Increase our faith as we base it on your word. In Jesus' name, amen.